A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the match preview show ahead of Liverpool versus West Ham this weekend. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Sam Walker and by Jamie Cranford to have a little chat about that game in particular, just a day after Liverpool got through their first European game relatively unscathed after a little bit of a scare. But Sam, this is the first time, really. Everyone always says, isn't it, that the bad thing about the Europa League is the Thursday, Sunday turnarounds and how you're going to react and all that kind of stuff. I suppose it might not be as big as a factor because West Ham were in the exact same boat, which helps. But this is the very first outing of what is going to be a common occurrence this season. Your Thursday, Sunday thing is going to be interesting. How Liverpool deal with it.
Yeah, and it's the first of a few on the run, isn't it? Because we've obviously got the League Cup and then the Europa League again the week after. Yeah. So, yes, something I got used to. One thing I do take pride in saying now with Liverpool is that we're a common team to Europe now. We know the setting well. We know how to manage that period between whether it's Wednesday and Saturday, Tuesday and Saturday, whether it's Thursday and Sunday. Slight adjustment, but I think we've gotten used to it now. I think our players are built to play two games a week and the squad's built for two games a week. So it's not ideal. You know, you'd rather have that Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday problem that the other teams have got at the moment. But, you know, I think it suits us and suits us down to a T that West Ham have also got the same problem. And they're probably not as you know, used to it, although they've had a couple of good runs, as we are overall.
I suppose, well, Jay, like, Liverpool were away, but they played earlier, West Ham. So I think it worked out like 66 hours after their kickoff, they go to Anfield. So it isn't ideal for either side. And you know, it'd be interesting because both teams made a lot of changes. They both had to bring a couple of players on to try and get the results they needed. It's hard to look at whatever happens Sunday. It's going to be hard to draw conclusions over, isn't it? How this is going to... This might not be the best example of the whole, does the team playing against you get the advantage? Because West Ham don't really get one.
Yeah. I don't think either side is going to have a significant fitness advantage looking at the teams. They played of their first team as Paquetá played.
James Ward-Prowse.
Ward-Prowse, yeah. Kudus, we were just saying before we came on, may start. He's got a goal. You know, he's obviously scored against us at Anfield before. So probably two or three of theirs started. Same with us, really. Van Dijk, I know we'll talk about the lineup later, but Van Dijk, Konate, maybe Nunez, Diaz. So I don't... There were wholesale changes on both sides. I think, going back to last year with Arsenal, you know, Arsenal had a decent crack at the league doing the Thursday-Sunday thing. So I just hope that we can be a team who, like... This just does not become a narrative over the course of the next however long, you know, because they had a good crack at it last year at Arsenal. And I think if we were in a similar situation, we've got players who have done it before. So I don't think would fall at the final hurdle kind of thing. So I'm not too worried about it.
I suppose as well, Sam, like going back to the games last night, there's nothing really you can take from them to look ahead to the game because a lot of players went. The only thing that was mentioned, speaking of West Ham, we'll do the Liverpool stuff in a minute. Jarrod Bowen missed that game. David Moyes said he's had a virus. And he's ill. Now, again, it's not till Sunday, so he's got a couple of days to try and get over that. I suppose he's the one, really, that would be a big blow for Southampton. Yeah. They have got options. They've got other options. Like Kudus would be the perfect one, potentially. And they have got guys, you know, they've got Benrahma, they've got Fornals, they have got good wide players. Yeah. We'll speak about Antonio in a minute as well. But Bowen would be a miss if he is missing for them. And like I say, he didn't play on Thursday. He's got a couple of days to prove his fitness.
Yeah, he's their best player. And look, when you've been poorly, it's hard to get your body strength back up. If you're ill, if you can't even train or be part of a squad, you're really ill. You know what I mean? So yeah. If he's not back in training until Saturday, Sunday's going to be tough because you've got to get that energy back in your body. But I think he's their best player. And I think when Declan Rice left, there was a huge argument to say he was their best player. He was definitely the most important, but their best player. And now you look at Bowen, he won them the Europa Conference League last year. He's been around the block a little bit now, being a part of the England squad. He's a well-versed Premier League player who we all respect, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, you know, if they are missing him, that's a big blow for them, because it doesn't matter who they play. We felt the wrath of Bowen before. Did he score the winner, really, in the 3-2 game? Is that right? Or he definitely got a goal in the game where he beat us for the first time in 21-22. And he scored a goal last year that was ruled out. And he scored a goal last year, did he, as well?
He's done all right, he's a good player.
Yeah.
It was a great goal, that disallowed one last
That's
year.
That's the
wasn't
one,
it?
Yeah.
It bent it right into the far corner, yeah. Yeah. I always think that's a thing that, When it says ill.
Actually, no, he didn't score. It was the disallowed one.
It was disallowed.
He missed the penalty in the home. We beat them 1-0.
That's right.
And Alisson saved the pen. But yeah, he's been a good player for them. You're right. He won them that Europa Conference that you were talking about as well.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, whenever you see ill on the injury list, you're like, ill.
Get over it.
Come on. But you think, like, we've all been ill, haven't we? Like, you know, if he does play, hopefully it'll affect him and he won't be able to put in a 10 out of 10 performance.
Looking at them in games against them, you've kind of referenced it there, Sam, before. Like, the last four games between them have all been decided by one goal.
Yeah.
They beat us 3-2, we had a couple of 1-0s, then we had the 2-1 last year. It always feels against West Ham, our record against them is actually pretty good. Mm. Our record against Moyes is excellent.
Yeah.
But they've always been hard-fought wins. Like I said, there was a missed penalty at Anfield. It was a 1-0. It was Darwin's header. It last year again, coming from behind, Gakpo has to score that a very, very, very good goal to help Liverpool win that one. And then Matip scores relatively late on
as well.
They always play as tough no matter what, whether it's Anfield or at their gaff, really. They're a good team.
Absolutely. We know what they're good at. Obviously, they've had the James Ward-Prowse in this year to, you know, he's good footballer, isn't he? But in terms of the set piece delivery, he's fantastic. But Cresswell's always had it in his locker anyway. We know what they are. They're a solid team who are never going to, you know, pull up trees. They're never going to do anything absolutely maverick. They're just a solid team, defend well and deep and look to counter attack. And the good thing I think about this season, the difference is that a lot of teams, we know what they can do, apart from maybe the ones that are caught, like your Lutons and your Burnley now and your Sheffields, but we know what they're about with the other Premier League teams. We've come across them before, they haven't changed too much. Whereas I actually think Liverpool now, since Curtis came in, the Chelsea away game, and as we've developed from there, we are a bit of a different outfit now. We haven't played everybody yet, including, I don't think we played West Ham, or if we have, it was definitely a mixed team. But even this season, again, you add in, you know, your Graham Batch, your McAllisters, you've got your forward lads back again. You know, we seem to be a bit of a different outfit this year, and we're doing different things. Szoboszlai's a monster. So there will be things that I think going into this game, although I expect it to be quite tight, I think West Ham are going to have to deal with things with Liverpool that they haven't dealt with before. And hopefully that just gives a little bit more space between us.
Their record this season, so in the league this season, they sit in sixth place, five games. They won three, drew one, lost one. The interesting one I was looking at, Jamie, is that they went to Brighton and won 3-1. And if anyone watched that game, they defended really deep and hit Brighton on the counter-attack. They basically went... I remember David Moyes saying, like, someone asked them after the game, like, you know, Brighton had all the possession. He went, well, they can take the ball home, we'll have the 3 points. A very similar method could, in theory, work against us. Liverpool expect us to have a lot of the ball. If they are happy to counter, they have got the good defenders. So whether it's Alvarez in DM with maybe Zouma behind them, they've got some good young players. The guy Agard is it, who's at centre half, who's been linked with Liverpool as well. So they have got that in the locker, and then they've got the pace on the break. That is what Liverpool probably should expect from West Ham at the weekend.
Yeah, I watched all of that game from a hot tub in Wales.
Okay. Love that.
Just like to apologise to the owners of that hot tub as well. It was, there was a lot of like ale spilt in
it.
Oh,
right. Okay.
I didn't. Family show. So yeah, and I thought it was great because in the build up to that, it's like, you got De Zerbi ball, he's the coming force, he's all, and then you got Moisey, who's been around the block, and it's like Brighton had all the possession. you've got this grizzled old Scottish manager, and it's like you can have all the possession you want and all your Paraguayan wingers and all that, and we've just got, like, you know, I mean, they're not they've got a good smattering of really, really talented players, to be fair, to the West Ham. I thought the City game, it was dead predictable. Like, I didn't think they'd get smashed 5-0, and I can see something like that happening here. I could see them maybe scoring, you know.
It wasn't 5-0 that game, was it?
No, it was 3-1, but like, oh, that's what I'm saying.
You
like,
yeah, you didn't see it.
I could see, I thought West Ham will probably play quite well, probably even score, but City will just, eventually the class will tell. I could see it being a similar situation here.
They missed chances.
And Ward-Prowse, you mentioned it before, Sam, he had goals or assists in every single game for them this season. He's been a revelation. He's the one who opened the scoring against City. And then it hasn't just been free kicks. The free kicks are brilliant in the corners, but his general play as well. And listen, City, it was 2-1 until, 86, 87 minutes when Haaland finally wraps up. So they've shown, they beat Chelsea, which again might not be the biggest achievement, but they did it with 10 men. They've certainly shown that they can hang around. Like, I would be shocked if Liverpool just, this is a cakewalk on Sunday. I feel like it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, the only way we batter them is if we get a couple of early goals and then the tiredness starts to kick in. And when you're losing, the tiredness kicks in.
Yeah.
And I do think our squad's deeper than theirs when you make 5 changes. Yeah. Anyway, I think that, like, they are what they are, West Ham, and this is what it is. And one thing I'd say about Ward-Prowse is when he was going there, I went, good signing, better signing than McTominay would have been for them, or Maguire, different position. But because he's unbelievable with the ball, a dead ball situation, and he's actually a well-rounded footballer. He knows the Premier League now.
Yeah, he's a good player.
And he's getting in the box for them, isn't he? He didn't do it as well much for Southampton. I think what West Ham do is they sit back and defend, and they're really tight, and they just look for opportunities. They want you to lose the ball, where Liverpool lose all the time, around the halfway line, playing a sloppy pass, and they just hit you with 3 or 4 players. Yeah. So what we've got to do, really, is just, you know, be sensible. I think one of the differences between Liverpool and City, and Pep said this himself at times, is that although they completely control games and then maybe a little burst and they score, we attack sometimes with so much pace that it doesn't matter who you are, how deep you defend, we're very direct. So that can work in our favour. We've just got to make sure we don't give them free kicks and corners galore, because they will score a goal if they do it.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Kenny in the Discord right here. I watched the game against Brighton and Antonio destroyed him on the counter. He plays like that against us. It's important to contain him. And then over to the YouTube, Dan Ward says, thanks for the team talk, Michel Antonio. So I don't know if you guys have seen. I'll just clarify what he said, just to let you know. But he said, I'm backing myself over Liverpool. You know, he said this on his, he's got the Footballers Football podcast with him and Callum Wilson, which it's just dreadful, really. Anyway, he says, you know what? I think we're going to finish higher than Liverpool this season. I'm putting it out there. I watched the game against Wolves. It was before our game. Wolves could have run away with it. They had quite a few opportunities. We've got them this weekend, and it's a 6-pointer. We've got them. I don't know, Jamie, like, I don't know if Klopp and the players do bulletin board, pin up on the dressing room. I don't know if that's their MO, but if they do it, that is it. You know, that you know.
Can you pin a clip from a podcast onto a...
You can print it off.
Fair enough. A transcript of it.
Put it on loop or something. Yeah, I'm sure that it's been... I mean, I just read this off talk. It's everywhere. It's all over the internet, so I'm sure you can find it somewhere. But, fair enough, like, you back yourself by all accounts. But you do wonder why? Like, why? But do you think, genuinely, do you think Liverpool are the team who would use that? Because I've got a feeling they probably might.
Maybe. I mean, it'd be interesting to see if we do win, if there's any little... Like, you saw Szoboszlai last night giving a bit back because he used to play for Salzburg. If there's any of these little weird little moments. Yeah, I don't know how seriously he's taking that, because he's probably... I don't know if there's a bit of a... If I say this, it'll get shared, and I don't know. But the problem, I can see what he's saying. But I think the problem West Ham have, and Moyes' teams tend to have, is if they go 1-0 up, they tend to just say, right, well, we'll stick with that. Whereas I think if as Wolves found last week, if we're playing poorly, you need to go 2 or 3 up, and you need to, once you've scored, it's like the you know, you're a cricket fan, Steve, but the Bazball thing of, like, you go hard and then you continue to go hard. You don't go hard and go, right, we'll just sit on this. And I've never, in the 20-odd years Moyes has managed, even going back to Everton, like that they were in the FA Cup final, went 1-0 up after 30 seconds. You know, my dad's a Blue, unfortunately, and he's like, that's it, we're losing this game, because you just can see we get further back, and then we eventually get picked off. And it happened against City. It's hard to win against City, so I'm not having a go at them. But if they want to win, they're going to have to not do that. They're going to have to score. If they get 1-0 up, try and score a second, try and score a third, and that'll leave them vulnerable at their end. So
yeah,
I can't see how it's going to... Yeah, well, we'll see.
I listened to it. Not live. I went back and forth. I'm going to listen. I'm sick of context. Context blown out of proportion, whether it's Klopp saying it, Paul Joyce saying it, and it's like...
He does say it.
This is what he says, though. You know what? You know what? I'm going to back myself. And you know, he's not being serious.
Right.
Like, honestly, he's not. Listen, he might think he can beat us on Sunday. Sound, he might do.
Yeah.
But he knows in his heart of hearts, looking at this team now, he ain't finishing above Liverpool this year. He'll know that. Like, that's just... And Moyes will know it. But the way... I don't know if you've listened to it, Steve, but the way he said it, that is great, because I'd be putting that on the wall. I wouldn't let them go near the podcast. But if you listen to it, you go, oh, frigging, I'll give him a break.
Yeah, you
but
can tell.
Just honestly, I know, that podcast's dangerous. Them two say some things, and you think that I would, as a current pro, not sure that's right.
It's not for me. I'll be honest. I've tried it. It's not my cup of tea.
No, no, either.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's the West Ham side of it done, and let's move on to the Reds then, Tom. What we're all here for. Lask, how many of the starting 11 do you think stay in the team? I think the two centre-halves are a given.
Potentially, yeah.
You think you've imagined that they've just...
Yeah.
It's whether Ibu's all right, but the fact that he took him off for 10
yeah.
makes you think he's probably got an eye on playing him Sunday. And then my guess is maybe he's got at least one of the front three, perhaps. Would you agree with that? Maybe Diaz, Nunes...
Yeah, I thought he would go. Obviously, the game probably didn't go as he planned it to go. But I thought he would. Like, we made 11 changes, didn't we? I mean, that was like shocking. I didn't think any of us thought that. And I think obviously it was perfect timing for a few of the lads. I thought the back four needed it, Pacetic and Canate, for different reasons. I'm not sure with Canate only because he did take him after 80, but I wasn't sure whether that was for Sunday or just being careful with him. I wasn't quite. But then I did think, well, how are you going to work him back in for the Prem, because you've got next week and stuff like that.
My guess is he starts.
I would hope it's Canate, Van Dijk, and Robertson at the weekend with Alisson in goal. In the middle, you know, you're going to start with McAllister and Sobersek because they came on. Probably Curtis, because he didn't kick a ball. You can probably predict that, can't you? And then Salah. I don't know, because I think it should be Diaz and Nunes, but they both played 90. Yeah. And I think they're both better than Gakpo and Jota at the moment, but them two didn't play, and that might be a factor.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jamie, like, usually you can get half a sense who's trying to get minutes and who he's looking after. The fact that he did leave, and listen, Van Dijk, I don't think it's the end of the world that he plays 90 and Ibu plays a lot, but the fact that he did leave Diaz and Darwin on, I don't know if you can take anything. I mean, listen, they're both fit lads. They can both play Thursday, Sunday. It's not a problem if they need to. But I don't know if you just read. Do we read anything into that? Because I'll be honest, I would like Diaz to start. Yeah. I'd be tired if Darwin does. It's hard to like, figure out exactly what Jürgen's doing with that. You can't really read too much into it. I don't know.
I think they're quickly becoming the favoured options on the left and the fans' favourites.
Defo.
I get with Nunez, I think if they're going to be sitting back, there isn't going to be loads of space in behind. But then, you know, a bit like Antonio, he's the classic word to describe him is a handful. I think he's better than that, isn't he? He's a good finisher, as he saw against Chelsea. Nunez is like that, but just a level above. He's, you know, quicker, better finisher. So, I don't know. It depends on did they start that game because they're being rested this weekend? He's preferred Gakpo. He likes Gakpo. I don't know. I would like to see Diaz and Nunez start, but I can see the front two, the two from the Wolves game coming. Jota and Gakpo for this one.
It's interesting though, Tom, because I know like Gakpo scored and Jota was involved in the goal, but I don't think either of them shone at Wolves again. It was a poor first half, and you don't hold that against anyone. But I do believe, like, if you're doing a straw poll of most fans, and you know people watching along now probably agree, I reckon everyone wants to see a little bit of Darwin, Diaz, Salah.
It feels like that's
like the most popular option right now, at least along the supporters I'm speaking to.
Me too. Look, what is it yesterday? Salah goal, Diaz goal, Nunez goal, assist, and let's be honest, he made the goal for Diaz in that, again, superb centre forward play. So it worked out. Two goals against Newcastle, two assists against Villa, made the goal against Wolves, although he didn't get the assist, did he? Because I think Salah did. Is that right? Was it the third goal?
He basically knocks Dawson onto his head.
Then drives and plays Salah in. That, he creates the goal. And then last night, a goal assist. And he's flying. He's in really good form. And he's affecting games, not just in the box now, which is great. But against Wolves, we probably got it the wrong way around, but that wasn't Klopp's fault. It was the internationals. They had loads of space in behind. They pressed us. There's not a chance West Ham are going to press us. So maybe he's thinking, well, Gakpo and Jota will do more in those small spaces and pull themselves in and create overlaps, where against Wolves we needed someone to just go, you know what, let's go in behind them. I think it might just be they've looked at West Ham and gone, you know, we need to get those 2 minutes against Lascaux, but against West Ham, those two might be the guys Klopp thinks are gonna do the damage.
They can almost be your finishers.
For courses, we're at that stage now. It's Mo Salah plus whichever two of the four. Which, by the way, how lucky are we?
Yeah,
absolutely. The only interesting one, Jamie, is that I don't know, the fact that Gomez didn't play yesterday. I know he comes on for half an hour, but Chetich needed the rest. I thought he looked like, you know, he was shattered. The fact he didn't go Gomez makes me think he's probably starting Gomez at the weekend. Trent didn't train before the last. He didn't travel to Lask, so he's still got 2 days. Like a time recording, they haven't trained yet, but we don't know where they're at. He's got a bit of Saturday, but it's that. I don't know. The sense is, it feels like it's probably going to be Gomez again at right back. And listen, he did struggle against Wolves. I think it's fair to say he had a good couple of games before that at centre back. He wasn't great at right back. And if West Ham do have whoever they're going to play down that left wing, that is something like Joe needs to be aware of, because Neto had him on toast for a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully he'll get, if Ibu does start, he'll get that assistance from him. In terms of the attacking sense, of course, we'd all love Trent to start, but it's not worth risking him. We don't want him breaking down and then being out for 3-4 months or something like that. So I'm happy if Joe starts at right back. I think he's actually decent on the ball. I remember the first half against Wolves, he put in one or two decent crosses in a very poor half. He obviously gets in a bit of trouble with Neto. You could see him, if it is a Kudus or somebody like that, maybe giving him a bit of trouble, but we're expecting to have the majority of the ball. So with that in mind, I don't mind. I'd rather him play him and not risk aggravating an injury with Trent.
If Trent can't go, he can't go. I suppose, like, the interesting thing with West Ham, Sam, is that they have got options there. Paqueta tends to play a little bit from the left, but they can use Bowen out there. Antonio can drift out there. Ben Rama, like, they have got options. So my guess is, if it is Gomez, and to be honest, even if it was Alexander-Arnold, that's probably the way they're going to go and try and attack us anyway. And they have had joy doing it against us in the past. So, I would think, and I might be wrong, but like, if we give West Ham the opportunities that Wolves had, they're more likely to take them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Wolves did take the first one, but there was a couple of others, especially the Cunha one, where that's probably 2-0 if that's West Ham. And it goes back to that start and slow thing again. Another game where, is it four now this season where we let the first goal
three,
in?
Three.
No, yeah, it's everything four. Except Chelsea. The one we scored first in was Chelsea and Villa.
Villa, yeah. Oh, so it was a four, yeah.
Yeah, but it was Wolves, yeah, Wolves, Bournemouth, Newcastle, and then last night. Yeah, so yeah. That is the thing that Liverpool needs to be wary of. Yeah. Yeah. West Ham, and if they do get one, I take Jamie's point, they'll go deep, but they can also do that. They are the decent defensively as well. Like, Liverpool need to get out of this frigging thing of starting slow.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think, look, you can break some of the games down to a couple of silly mistakes from Trent. The Wolves game was a mismatched team. The other day was a mismatched team, but that was still a stupid goal to leave them unmarked. I agree. I think what we've got to do is get our best side out there that we can. With Gomez, I think first half against Wolves, he got torn apart by one of the best left wingers in the league, if I'm being honest right now. Neto's flying.
Yeah,
he's not got the stats. He's got good stats, but not unbelievable for it. But that's because he plays for Wolves. But I don't think West Ham have got anybody who's got the speed and trickery as he has. One or the other, maybe. I'm actually quite comfortable with Gomez at right back. Off the ball, on it is where you miss Trent, isn't it? Hopefully he's on the bench at least. Then we'll get 30 minutes of him at the end. But yeah, I think, and Szoboszlai being in there now helps. Salah does a bit when he can. Konate help, so I think it'd be evenly balanced if, in terms of across the defence, if Gomez plays. I think we can all agree Gomez is fine. That's the way to use him. Am I right? He's fine there, and actually he might even be a little bit stronger defensively than Trent can be at times. But yeah, I think for us it's concentration, get the crowd behind, and then just not give any silly mistakes away like Trent's too, and even last night it's stupid. Just be solid and then let the guys go on forward, because what West Ham will do is they'll play like mid, won't they? Probably like a mid block. They'll condense it and then they'll go back if they get the goal. But if you don't let them get the goal, you make them change the game plan.
Suppose.
I bet we were having similar discussions before the Villa game. Got walking, oh, it's dangerous. Then that's the most, obviously the early goal is great, but the first 20 minutes, they barely had a kick, we completely dominate. It was an easy street game, wasn't it? Like, relaxing watching it. Hopefully we can do something like that at the weekend rather than show them and return to being mentality monsters. We'd rather not be mentality monsters every week. We'd rather have our feet up.
Stop giving them a sniff. I suppose the other question then, Sam, is the midfield. You're right to reference Szoboszlai'll start. I think you're right to say Curtis probably comes back in, and Gavin Bacher, thankfully, it wasn't an injury, it was just cramp, but you think too early. It's what he does at number six, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Endo played, I'll ask, I didn't see too much of him, to be honest with you. Bacetic played right back.
Yeah.
It feels like it's probably going to be Alexis again.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I think until after half term in school terms or the international break, Bacetic and Endo will just be dripped in those midweek games, and rightly so, for different reasons. I think against West Ham it's going to be a lot of long balls. There's not going to be a midfield battle. Like, Wolves actually tried to play through us and we tried to play through them. I think it'll be second ball. So although I'd love McAllister to be 2 foot taller and a bit wider for this game, actually if his anticipation is good, I think he'll be okay. I don't see Ward-Prowse and whoever, Suchek, playing 1-2s through the middle of our midfield. They'll be looking for second ball spillages of the ball. Yeah. So this could be a game where if we're not soft and McAllister's tidy on the ball, he actually takes the midfield out of the equation for West Ham. Yeah. It's just, for me, like, the threat of set pieces Fabinho used to give us, and even Henderson used to give us something else in defence and even in attack. McAllister, as good as he is, isn't going to give us that aerial defensive cover.
I suppose Szoboszlai helps you there, doesn't he? If one of your number eights is a little bit more...
Curtis is a big lad as well.
And if that can kind of gapo the same, I suppose. It kind of helps you get away with
it. And Jota, he's actually quite good. So
he's good in the air, isn't he?
What am I on about?
No, you are right to reference it. That's what they are going to be dangerous. I'm saying, Ward-Prowse is one of the best free kick-takes you'll ever see. So they're always going to be a thing like that one. So let's go and try and build an 11, NJ. What we think he's going to do rather than what we would do. Alisson, we're presuming Gomez is at right back. If Trent fit, it's him. It's going to be Konate and Matip. Konate and Van Dijk, my word. Konate, Van Dijk, Robertson, McAllister, Jones, Szoboszlai.
Yeah.
Salah plays. What do you think Jürgen's going to do up front
there? I think he'll play Gakpo. Maybe Diaz again.
Yeah. I think the same.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's going to do. I will go Nunes.
Yeah,
but I think he'll do Gakpo and Diaz.
I think he plays Jota and Gakpo just purely on the basis of energy, and I think he backs them all.
Yeah.
I think because he backs them all, I think he'll go Gakpo and Jota, and he'll back that Diaz and Nunes off the bench. He'll be frightening, and then we'll think about it on Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, kind of thing. The only other one, it'd be nice, Jamie, if we saw this yesterday with the players who came on the bench off the Liverpool's bench yesterday. It was the stars. It's the, if you flip it around the other way, and those lads are on now on the pitch, and the other lads, there is, you know, there's Neil Jones used this term the other day, it's a rugby term, you know, bringing your finishers on. So yeah, whichever two he doesn't bring on, he has got the bench options are looking really strong for Liverpool. Provides everyone's fit, there's a world where you can bring on, let's have, say it is Diaz and Gakpo start there. Well, there's Jota, there's Darwin straight away. You've got Harvey Elliott too, I think's been impressive off the bench. He hasn't been brilliant. Started yesterday, but in general he's been good coming off the bench. You do have other options there. Like Liverpool's squad at the moment is looking like a game where if you can keep it, you know, keep it within distance, your power off the bench can get you over the finish line. It feels like we're at a stage at the moment where that's a genuine option for us.
Yeah, and the other thing is the people that offer slightly different skills. So if it is, everyone likes, it's becoming a bit of a cliche now, but Nunez chaos off the bench, or, you know, it's hopefully getting to a bit more controlled chaos these days. If it's Jota off the bench, having not started the day, he'll be full of energy. Same with Gakpo. Elliot, he's offered that bit of control on the ball, wise on the ball. I loved his little pass in. I thought that goal was brilliant yesterday, by the way, but ball to Gravenberch and the first time crossing. So he can play those clever passes, first time passes. If we're up and they're coming out a bit, someone like Elliot, I think, is great. We saw him, well, I know it was an own goal, but having somebody like that to bring on, that he can be involved in grabbing the goal that puts it, you know, that ends the contest, I mean, I thought Gravenberch was good yesterday. I wouldn't mind seeing a bit. I don't think there's any way he'll start. Obviously he gets cramp at the end. I saw that thing with was Ryan Babel saying, if you play him in the six, it's like having driving a Ferrari at 30 or so. And I can see what he means now with his...
the way he drives forward.
Yeah, skill on the ball, picking passes out, stuff like that. So I'd like us to be nice and comfortable. I'd like a repeat of the Villa game, basically. Get Gravenberch off the bench, see what he can do, see what Elliot can do, and whichever forwards we don't play. Maybe a bit of Doke, who knows?
Got a comment here from Stephen Saunders, Sam, who says, I wouldn't play McAllister at DM. I'd have an actual DM there and get McAllister further up. Like, that is the thing at the moment. Liverpool, McAllister isn't... I thought against Wolves, listen, there was a lot of extenuating circumstances.
Yes.
He looked like a lad who'd been playing footy in Bolivia.
Yeah.
Which he had. But, like, Liverpool do have two defensive midfielders. They do have Endo and they do have Bichetta. Yeah. Like, in theory, one of those probably should. It just doesn't feel like we're there yet.
No, and like we both just mentioned before with Bacetic, I think, you know, as the season goes on and as he gets another year older and stuff like that, I think he will start to play games. He's quality. Yeah. Even yesterday, he showed some quality aspects to his game, even though he was a bit rusty. I think Endo is a defensive midfielder, so he's a defensive midfielder, so once he understands the system, those two of the three, maybe the third being a quality player, should be enough to get him game time. I think my argument is, the moment is, that McAllister, Jones and Szoboszlai is a better three than McAllister, Szoboszlai and anybody else at the moment. Whichever way, even if you're taking a notch off McAllister and putting Jones in, but by putting a different six in to have McAllister and then not having Jones in the side, I think that three is the best three we've got at the moment. Because we were arguing about whether people think Calvin Phillips will start for us. No chance, whatever. Anyway, that's just my own debate. Mm-hmm. So I think what it is with us is that those two, even though you're taking a bit off McAllister, what Jones gives you and what you still have with McAllister in the six, those three are our best three. And the more they play together, the better they'll get.
Yeah, fair enough, fingers crossed, we'll see how it goes. Right then, we've gone through it all and we picked an 11, what we do, all that kind of stuff. Jamie, I just see it going. I mentioned before, I think it's going to be a tight game, but what do you think? And can I push you for a score?
I have a feeling it'll be a tight game, and I have a feeling that they'll score as well. I don't know. I have a feeling they might score first as well. I could see.
It's a common theme.
Should we go a third 3-1 in the last three games? Yeah, we'll go 3-1 Liverpool.
I'm going to go 2-0. I think we will be much more switched on at the back, and I think we get a goal in both halves. It might even end up being 3, but I think 2-0, I think our best defence being pretty much back in, maybe bar Trent, and us just being that little bit more savvy.
I think 2-1. I think it's pretty tight as well.
Fair play.
I think it's going to be a really close game. I think they're a good side. I think we're a good side. I think I'd back us to score goals, and that's where it gets it. Salah's just on fire. We didn't really speak about him there, but like, he's good for at least one. a goal or assist every game. Literally, yeah, he's done, you know, 11 in a row in the league, and he's had a couple of European ones in there as well. He's on fire. He could be the difference. But yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 with Salah just winning it. But I'm not expecting a comfortable game. You referenced that Villa game. It was the nicest day we've had for years watching the Reds. It was flip flops for half an hour. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it against these. I think the way they're built and the way that they're set up, it just doesn't allow that to happen.
Really. I couldn't have seen that happening against Villa though. So
yeah, it's a good point. True, yeah. Good
that's
side.
Why I'm hopeful that it'll be comfortable, like you say, a 2-0 or a 3-0, something like that.
Yeah, no red cards this time. Like, it would be a difference. Well, so guys, thanks very much for coming in. Thanks all you guys for watching or listening to this episode of the Match Preview. Yeah, do give it a like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Help us out. Let us know in the comment section what 11 you'd pick if you were Jürgen Klopp. And like I say, for the game itself, it'll be Errol and me in the studio for the watch along. So do come along and join us for that one. We'll see you all there. See you in a bit.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.